Practice makes perfect. Learn Minecraft.
We usually think of sketchbooks as a place where ideas begin, but sometimes they're places where you can begin too. So in this episode, join coloured pencil artist Laurie Christensen as we step into her quiet, intentional world of sketchbooking. Laurie didn't start with confidence. In fact, she began with curiosity and a willingness to just keep trying. Her sketchbook isn't about perfection. It's full of questions and experiments and small little discoveries that just changed everything for her. This isn't just a sketchbook tour, it's a conversation about observing closely, embracing imperfection, and becoming the artist that you want to be, one page at a time. So, let's begin. Hello Laurie, and welcome to the Learn Minecraft podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I would love to. And thank you, Seema, for including me on your show. I'm honored to be here, truly. My name is Laurie Christensen, and my Instagram page is MyArtShare because I started this from a very rudimentary, backwards entry into this world. And I thought, I'm just sharing my art, period. That was basically it. I started off about 5 years when COVID hit. I was involved in a stationery business and was sending a lot of mail, encouraging other people to send a lot of mail. And I started doing things like decorating the outside of the envelopes with very basic paints that I found in my kids' drawers, thinking that I would make the mailman happy, make the recipient happy, encourage other people during this time to share the love of something beautiful, even if it was basic. From there, I started realizing that putting pencil to paper, doing that kind of thing on top of writing letters really alleviated a lot of angst. So then I started wanting to draw, and I never took a drawing class, never took an art class, and started buying books online, you know, just line drawing tutorials, watching YouTube. And again, using this very cheap, basically a grocery store set of paints. A lot of the teachers would say, pencil sketch your art, you know, pencil sketch this leaf or this flower. So I would try to do that. And inevitably I'd spend more time with the eraser, erasing the thing, redrawing it, erasing it, redrawing it, feeling very overwhelmed that I couldn't do what the teacher was doing and that I didn't have any skill set. And it took me a while to understand that the eraser became an unnecessary life preserver. It was preventing me from committing to drawing, no matter how rudimentary the art looked or how basic, or the fact that the teacher wasn't asking me to be just like her. So I ditched the pencil. I actually told people that I hated the pencil because it was so unreasonable for me. And I picked up a Micron pen because I realized if I put a Micron pen to paper, I committed to the lines straight out there. If it was a little wonky, okay, I just drew over it. If the leaf was a little crooked, it became a little stylized. That's what I told myself. And started just then using, I guess what they called now, I didn't know then, pen and ink or pen and wash, where you would draw your image and paint inside. And I did a lot of that. And the painting was fine, but I enjoyed the pen work a lot. And around this time, it was about July of 2020, my mom had given me some of my grandmother's books. And in fact, it's that red field guide up there. It's all about field guide of Western flowers. And inside is inscribed from my grandfather to my grandmother. It says, I haven't wrote it down here. It says, to Opal, a wildflower, love Alvin, 1955. And I was moved by that. So I decided every day I would open it to one page with a cup of coffee and draw one of the flowers that was in there very meticulously, not because I was trying to be a perfect illustrator, but because I was trying to understand which lines were in front of other lines as I was working on my drawing skills. And I realized it was really helping me with my observation skills, which this whole journey has proven to be what it's all about. How keen my observation skills can send the message to my brain and out my hand, because oftentimes there's a huge disconnect to that. So forward jumped through a lot of watercolor and a lot of frustration and a lot of realizing that I really am a detailed person and that watercolor wasn't serving me. I discovered this free challenge on Instagram by my now teacher and mentor, Natalie Eastlick, who gave a free tutorial for or a free challenge for 1 week where she taught you how to or guided you through how drawing an animal with one color pencil, and each time you drew the animal, it wasn't about how many colors you could use. It was simply about tones and values. And I didn't realize that that was such a crucial part of drawing. It didn't matter if your kangaroo was purple. So I found myself really widening the funnel into this small arena that I didn't know I needed this whole time. Working with color pencil, working with graphite, learning about finite marking, understanding tones and values, which I never learned because I didn't take an art class. So I kind of came at it backwards. And from that, so from I think it was April of 24, I think it was, till today, March of 24, I've basically been only working in color pencil and pencil and widening my tutorials, watching you guys. And then comes the brilliant, brilliant sketchbook journals that you guys put out. After all these lessons with Natalie and online courses and things like that, I realized that doing things like drawing the whole animal still became daunting when I was having a hard time understanding how to make the inside of the nostril. I know what I see dark, but I didn't couldn't figure out how to get in there, get on the outside, make it look curvy, all those things. Then I discovered your journals by doing a search on, color pencil art, graphite art, and realized that these little vignettes, these 3-inch squares, allowed me to focus my time and energy just on those one elements instead of the whole animal. And it was like a light bulb. I was, aha, I shared it with all my friends. I told everybody, all my art community about these books. For the first time, I could actually practice a little bit of what I was learning in my community with Natalie, a little bit of what I was learning online, and then testing myself in a way that I was a teacher, I was a student, I was the assistant, I was the aide, I was all the parts because I had information now. I had learned information. How do you put it out there? I was actually the very first one that I did was this lion's snout. I spent more time arguing with myself about how come nobody makes a color pencil this color? Why can't somebody just make it cream, tannish cream, instead of trying to figure out how do I get to that place? Then I realized that was part of the journey to try to understand what do I see under the lines? Are the lines, negative space? It's been fascinating. So, of course, I think I have all of them except the undersea one and maybe the landscape one of the Learn My Craft journal. And they're brilliant, straight up brilliant. And I do something different than everybody else. I actually cut them out and put them in my sketchbook because it becomes this whole study. It becomes a question and answer of what works with something else. I recently, in the last several months, probably 6 months, discovered the pan pastels. And in playing with those, I worked on, oh, these might work well with color pencil because I don't like filling in the tooth of the paper, but there's an undercolor. So, anyways, all of that was part of this very interesting journey and brought me here to you guys today. So, yeah.
That's so wonderful and fantastic. I'm so pleased that you found colour pencil because I personally love colour pencil. And I'm very excited that you've also found pan pastel because I love using that with coloured pencil, which is brilliant.
Yes,
Yeah.
and interesting when I watch other people use it, I only started watching them after I started playing with it. I didn't quite realize there was a whole world out there of even pastel artists. I know I'd seen that kind of art, but because that was too messy for me and all that, I'm like, oh, I'm not, I don't do that, So I kind of didn't even pay attention. But when I realized that other people were using pan pastels the way I was, I felt vindicated in a way, like, oh, maybe I do know what I'm doing after all, for sure, self-discovery. But yeah, it really does create something unique and gives both dimension and depth that I struggled with with just color pencil alone. I struggled making those initial layers soft, smooth, 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 smooth until you get detail. It felt like I was taking the long way around the block, for sure.
Yes, definitely. I think that's how some people can perceive color pencil as being quite a time-consuming medium, because you do feel like you're spending most of your time filling in the teeth of the paper, unless you're using very, very smooth paper, which not a lot of people like to use because smooth paper doesn't necessarily have a lot of layers to it, like a thickness. But I personally love using really smooth paper, probably like you do in your sketchbook, if you have smooth paper in your sketchbook.
Well, I am using hot press, which when I was drawing and painting, I didn't use hot press. I used cold press because I really liked how the pen would skip across the paper. I liked that the marker wasn't creating a color crayon line or like a coloring book line. So I loved that rough toothiness of the paper. And people said, "Oh, use hot press." And when I tried that, the pen just got away from me. It like ran off the edge of the paper, and it was so hard to manage. So then I thought when I was using hot press, because everyone said, "Oh, that's what you use for color pencils," I actually had a hard time. I had to really take time to get used to this. And interestingly, what I did when I first used this Etch-A-Lab book, I took the very first page and tried everything in my arsenal, pencils, pens, watercolors, everything to see how it would feel on the page to give me like preparatory time to have an attitude adjustment, before starting. But yeah, I do. I haven't tried pastel matte, which is a paper that a lot of people talk about. Maybe because right now I feel like I'm just a sketchbook artist, so it stays in these, safe place.
Yes, definitely. I just love your sketchbooks. I can't wait to talk more about them and go through your sketchbooks with you. So, should we go through your sketchbook?
Would love to. This is actually the very first page I did with the lion's nose. Like I said before, I was really happy to isolate out just something interesting that was hard for me, like the insides of the nostrils. And then I found myself overwhelmed with how do I achieve this beigey, tanny, creamy color? I mean, I knew I could get some browns. I knew I could get dark inside the nostril, but I wasn't sure how to do that until I realized that working with my pan pastels would help quite a bit. So I started using these pages as more of a study where I would practice what colors looked good with the creams, what color looked good with the ochre, what color looked good with these color pan pastels that I felt was the bottom of the undercolor, so to speak. And once I realized that these pages served that purpose, I became obsessed with these little studies, not so much. Do I have the size or scale right? Although that is important. But what do I see here? My mind tells me it's like a nice salmon color. But when I keep looking carefully, there's pinks and dark oranges and light oranges. And then how do I do that down here? So my work with drawing and observation became really, really tested, I guess is a good. It's almost it felt like a test. Like if the teacher said, "You're going to get graded on what color do you think is underneath that eye?" I'd be like, "Okay, let me see. Well, I don't know. It's a little bit minty, a little bit yellowy, a little bit limey, a little bit olivey." I mean, it really felt like I was testing myself that way. But it was a great, self-paced class, right? And same with the pigeon. I felt how do I achieve these shiny, minty parts of his feathering? And even still, probably could have gone darker in the darks. But again, probably using these case studies to figure out which colors worked well was part of the challenge. For the blue tit, I was really interested in just using the Faber-Castell blue colored pencil and just let it rip. And I really enjoyed letting go of color to define the animal, but just let my value come to the surface. For
They're
the,
really incredible.
oh, well, thank you. This was another one that was felt like out of my wheelhouse, but trying to figure out how to achieve the soft pink in the depths of the ear. I know
I know what I see, but I wasn't sure how to do that here. So again, I started with the pan pastel to try to figure out what colors would allow me that light skin color, and just really tried to take my time. Inevitably, probably the best thing I've done with these studies is go super slow, really just methodically, one section, a little bit markings at a time, a little bit of smudging, mostly guesswork. But this kind of stuff, the study was super helpful. I felt really challenged by the ostrich because I love this color, these blue tones, but how do you get that soft grayish beak tip that looks like it's been dented in the wild, you know, smudged up so much? And I did use the, what are those called? Indenting tool. Tried to play with that a little bit to try to show the release of the light color. I don't think I have the Midas touch on that yet, but I definitely think that is something to, I don't know how you guys would do that. Maybe we should tell me if there's a secret to it, because that was hard.
The indent tool does work well with colored pencil. With the pan pastel, I think the powder's too fine and just goes into the indentations. So it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, a little bit later, but definitely it works more with color pencil for sure. And then I did the ostrich eye. I felt the ostrich eye is another interesting thing. The shape to get mine is too wide. But again, I felt like if I could get the what I was seeing, I would work on the size of the eye next time.
I love that you have different elements of practice with every single study. So one minute you're trying to study values, another one you're trying to study the color, another one you're trying to study the proportions. I find that so interesting, the way you, I guess, divide it up that way. Do you find that really useful to just focus on one type of thing?
Absolutely. I find that when I'm looking through the books, I really almost look for what is challenging me this week. What element when my drawing, what breakdown am I suffering the most from, and try to find something for that. I could probably draw this 10 times and still maybe not get the shape of that eye. In my mind, it feels like an optical illusion. I know what I see. I know that it's more of a rectangle than a circle, but when I get the pencil to paper, it doesn't always turn out. So I know I have to just keep practicing that. And yeah, I find that to be interesting. And while I want to call you up really quick and say, hey, Seema, could you just tell me how to move the eye really quick? You know, I know that it's up to me to try to figure that out. So again, hats off to you guys for giving us a close-up of something that allows us that kind of practice. Once I did the ostrich and I realized there was all these elements of the giraffe, this was the first page that I just put these all here first. Pulled all the colors out and tried to see what colors would show up in all three elements, and didn't really care if they ran into each other. It was whether or not I could say, yeah, those look like parts of the giraffe. And I was really thrilled with how this turned out. The fact that this part of the nose does look like you could, like a seashell almost, you know, and I didn't think I could achieve that. So this was probably one of my I would turn this in for my master's program. This would be my, you know, end of the school submission.
Oh, it's a really beautiful page. I love how you've put those pictures there, and then you've pulled out the colors. So do you initially pull out the colors, or do you sort of pull them out as you go along?
I try to do the case study work first. I try to put these down first, look at all of the reference pictures and figure out which pen pastels probably will be the closest to what I need. Then I put those on here. Then I pull out the jars of pens and I put the pencils next to me, and I know that I need the skin colors. I know that I need the ochres and the siennas, and I know that I need some elements of, you know, one of the colors that always befuddled me was caput mortuum. And I found that my teacher always used that, and I was thinking, what's the point of that color? It's not really brown. It's not red. But I get it. I get the time for those colors. That's also part of this self-paced journey, is discovering colors and things that you didn't realize were important. And again, part of that observation skill. But I try to do all the color swatching first, and then I put them in these I put them in these trays so they don't fall off the desk. And then I have those hopefully right next to me, you know, when I'm drawing. Inevitably, I don't know about you, but inevitably I'm always pulling more colors and then my desk has way too many next to me.
Definitely. I always find that the colors I pull are never the ones I actually end up using.
Right. And then I wonder why. I hope to get better at seeing a color and knowing, oh, that's definitely warm gray 3 or 2, but for sure it's warm gray. Pull that out and I know I'll use it. I think it's a slow process of learning that. But just more time spent doing this will help. One of the other things I wanted to show you was, I don't want to be a portrait artist. I have no interest whatsoever, but I have found that doing things like these kind of studies have been interesting because it's all part of that observation skill. This one's shiny because I had to tape it down, but inside of the nose, how do you make the nose skin color against skin color? How do you make it look round right there? What is it that makes it look round? I know that there's dark shadow here, but what about that? What about this? I probably did this curve 20 times. I see it, but when I started putting my shadow work in here, it didn't look round. So these have also been interesting and super helpful.
These are so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate
it. I love seeing them in your sketchbook. Even black and white, it's so gorgeous to see how you've done them and the comparison.
It's interesting when I go back to what brought me to color pencil. What got me to this point was that 1 week challenge of it doesn't matter what color you use. Natalie always says if you work on your tones and values, it doesn't matter what color you use. And every time I get stuck, I keep listening to her in my head, reminding me, you have to, the darker your darks, the lighter your lights. So if you look inside this ear and it doesn't look right, more than likely that dark corner and that space aren't dark enough. But when you're looking at this, it's peach and pink, and you've got a dark pencil here, and you have to turn off your brain that says I'm using, you know, black, right? It's interesting if you just keep going and keep adding value, using the kneadable eraser to take away value. I thought that was cheating. I also thought the blender was cheating, but I've learned over time that those are just other tools in your toolbox to help achieve this, you know, that it doesn't get laid down in the way you see it out of the gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, definitely.
And this is probably my favorite one. I actually can't believe that I did that when I look at it. And
it's very accurate, isn't it? You did so beautifully on the proportions.
I appreciate that. It was also, again, one of the ones that I had to work really slowly, pull out the skills that I have been practicing, like blending the dark crease and kind of feathering it out, blending it out, before you add the eyelashes, not getting ahead of yourself, trying to just take this slow pace, making sure that you know that there is value here, even though it's super light. So I couldn't just leave the paper light. I had to figure out how to use my H and 2H and the blender and the things to, sorry about that. My light is temperamental. I will do more out of this book as well. Not that I want to be a portrait artist, but I want to keep practicing my observation skills. And I think that's where these books continue to be just off the charts for me. They're the best. This one was probably, no matter how many times I fussed with it, I also struggled with, I'm proud of it, happy to get it. I think it looks decent. But I think these, you could just keep fussing with the nuances of the darks and the little creases and the wrinkles and the lines and the lips, you know? But again, it's all at a funny angle and super good challenge. Super good challenge. So if anybody thinks that they're not ready for that and they only want to do animals, I encourage them to pick up this one as well, because I do think we're working on our observation skills. We're working on their details. We're working on how to send that messaging to our hand and to our pencil. And I guess it doesn't matter the subject, right?
Definitely. It's just about what you're copying, isn't it? What you're seeing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So should we draw?
Yes, thank you so much for taking me through your journals. So I would love for you now to show me how you create one of these pages in your sketchbook. We're using the Learn My Craft Practice Journal British Wildlife Edition, I assume?
We are, and I have a love for the great blue heron, and when I saw what you're calling the gray heron, I just assumed it was meant to be. So that's the one I picked for today.
Perfect. So you've cut yours out.
Yes, I cut them out to put them in my journal so that my journal can always be a place of reference, because I'm never sure how to achieve this. I mean, if you ask me straight up, it's still a guessing game. But what I do want to do is try to determine what's under this dark blue. What's under this? What is this? Purple, blue, gray? I don't really know, but I think it's a combination of things. My eye tells me this is lemon yellow. My eye tells me this is gray, but I think there's warm gray and cool gray. So how do you achieve that? How do you achieve, my eye tells me this might be taupey, grayish, pinkish, orangish. How do you achieve that? So inevitably, if I start with some pan pastels, I feel like it gives me a heads up on at least some of the undercolor. And in order to know whether I'm on the right track or not, I put some of the pan pastel colors here. Actually, I started before putting them in my sketchbook because I was a little bit apprehensive. I started with just a scrap piece of paper, scribbling as many colors as I could think of. And what I do is when I put the pan pastel down, I put the color pencil right on top of it because I want to know, how is that going to look? How does this burnt umber tint, which is such a beautiful color, how does that work with something that might be a little bit pinky? How does it work with something that might be a little ochre-y? Inevitably, I'm probably going to combine the ochre and the pinks, you know, or the cinnamon color, and maybe a little bit of gray. So if I'm putting some of these right on top of each other, right on the pen pastel in this practice page, even though this is only for my eyes only, right? Technically, I'm not turning it in. I'm just practicing. I'm learning. This helps me get started.
Right. I love that you layer the pan pastels and colored pencils initially just to see how that works.
Yeah, I think sometimes what I have learned is achieving the right color is never going to be the first color you put down. And having watched and asked a million questions, I understand that this area right here is not just this color. It's not just this orange, cadmium orange color. There's a little bit of gray under there. There's a little bit of yellow under there. There's a little bit of gray on top. And so I've learned to try to trust that the first stroke you put down isn't going to be the final one. The first color you put down here, this is probably that lemon yellow over maybe the Delft blue, maybe over gray. Maybe I have it wrong, but I'll try and I'll know. And then I can go back to this page and say, yeah, you didn't get that color. What is that? And sometimes I've been known to just ask somebody. I'll say, especially back there in like some of the inside nostrils, my mind tells me it's navy, bluish, grayish, pinkish, maroonish. I don't know how to achieve those colors or what the correct order is. Sometimes I feel that there's a recipe that people are holding out on me. But inevitably, the practice of trying has been really helpful. So I went ahead and sketched the heron and pencil first to try to give myself, you know, a head start before we got going on the recording. So how about you? Where do you start?
I guess I do normally just sketch it and then just go for it. I tend not to plan the colors as much because I feel like my eyes see things differently in context. So if I'm looking at focusing on, say, the eye, then I feel like I see different yellow than if I'm just generally looking at the eye. Do you know what I mean?
Right, but you do have to pull some of those colors out to get started. And I'm sure, too, with your experience, you and other pet portrait artists that I've spoken to, one in particular I know, she would tell me that every time she does a tongue,
she basically pulls out the same six color pencils. And for the most part, they work right. for her. So I think with experience in your trait, what you're working on, you have an idea probably what color your eye is seeing versus me. I'm still on the heavy guesswork.
Mm-hmm. I also tend to pull brighter colors than you see because I like to tone down my colors by choice.
Okay. And how do you do that?
If that makes sense.
The toning down of the colors.
So I will normally like add white to sort of tint it down, or like a gray, or maybe a silver gray, which is like a bluey gray if it needs to be cooler. It obviously depends on the temperature as well of the placement. If it's a cool, you know, highlight or a warm highlight, then that's the kind of thing I would add to it. What color pencils are you using? What colored pencils are you using?
I am using the Polychromos, and today I've tried to stick with the Polychromos exclusively so that I... Actually, there's one other one. I have quite a few other pencils, but I have learned recently that they don't always play well with each other, and I don't know the correct order. I think that, like Prismacolors, I've heard they're softer. And when I've worked with mm-hmm. those or the Luminance, sometimes I believe if I took an art class, I would ask the teacher, could you tell me which pencils are better on top and which ones are better below? And I do think there is something mm-hmm. to be said for that that I'm not quite sure of. Would you say in your experience?
Yes, I definitely use the same ones over and over again in terms of layers. So I would always go in first with my Pan Pastels. I'd put the Pan Pastel down, and then I would always go in with the Caran d'Ache Luminance because they're very soft and blendable, and I find them really good for those first base layers to really blend everything and put in those first initial tones and values in.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Yeah, and then I would always use the Faber-Castell Polychromos over the top because they're such a harder pencil. You can get some really fine details with them. And some of the yellows and the browns are very luminous. So they go over the Caran d'Ache ones really nicely.
That's good to know. I have a set of those, and I think I will take a practice page and give that a go and try to find some base colors exclusively in the Luminance, and then like you said, go back over them with the polys and see how I do instead of the other way around, instead of, you know, doing it backwards.
Yes, it's definitely worth trying and playing around, because I also found when I bought the Caran d'Ache Pablos, they're also a hard pencil, very similar to the Faber-Castells. I was using them in the same way, so I would be placing those over the top of the Caran d'Ache as well, the Luminance as well. But if you've got Faber-Castells, I don't think it's necessary to buy the Pablos. I feel like they're very similar. And the Caran d'Ache also has a better variety of colors, I think, especially useful colors.
The Caran d'Ache ones?
Yeah, the Faber-Castells have the variety of useful colors, like the grays. They have the best variety of grays, I think, of any pencil.
I agree for sure.
Yeah. So talk me through what you're doing right now.
So right now I am just trying to look at the reference picture, and I'm just trying to put down enough of the Pan Pastel to give me a framework where some of the main colors are. And I really try not to let myself get too worked up if, okay, this panel's a little bit wider than what I see here. Because really, in the end, it's not gonna matter too much for what my purpose is of the sketchbook practice, right? It's what do I see and how do I achieve that? And do I have enough, you know, value down to help me then go in with the color pencils to create what I see? And inevitably, most of the time, it's kind of about filling the tooth of the paper on top of giving that base color. I mean, are when you do yours, are you more concerned with the base color or more concerned with getting some depth in there?
I guess I sort of do both. I sort of choose like, I guess, mid-tones as base layers, and I try and do like a tonal study. So here I see a lot of blues, and I would try and implement that as a tonal study. So obviously concentrating on the values high up on his head is a lot darker than on his neck, and then you've got his nose, and then you've got the little patterny feathers on his breast. So I would sort of use it as a tonal study almost of just blues and then warm it up with the yellows afterwards.
Okay, interesting. I when I read about color pencil art and I try to apply what I'm reading, I do think that there are a variety of approaches to that, what you said, whether you're starting with your mid-tones or you're starting with your lights, you know, first. I also try to get in some of that white on top of the initial layer of pan pastel in case I want to remove any of the color pencil on top, or if I want to use the, what do they call the little, let's see. The little plastic, the blade, if you wanted to take some of the,
The slice tool,
yes, thank you. if I do want to use any of that, I try to get some of that white in first, also to kind of soften some of the edges around the pan pastels, especially in this area where the white definitely bleeds into the soft gray colors, and it's not pure white, you know, it's white with a lot of different tones of gray for his feathering.
So in your sketchbook pages, do you find that you keep going back and pulling colors, or do you sort of just like carry on, if you get what I mean, like, and just stop pulling colors per se?
Yeah, I do. You mean during a specific section, or would you say, do I use the previous art as a guideline? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, yes.
You know, I would say if I'm doing something that has similar colors to the giraffe, you know, those colors that I knew were frustrating to get, I might go back and take a look and see what was the color I used to, you know, achieve that nice, you know, creamy caramel color, or, you know, tan color. I might go back and take a look at it, but I'm always flipping through the book, and it helps me remember that I was able to achieve it before. So if anything else, not to get stumped and think that it's impossible, because I think actually realizing you can come up with it, just start again, reset, take a look. What do you see? Look at your supplies, what's available to you. I think sometimes that also is helpful, if that makes sense.
Yes, definitely. What would you say to any artists, color pencil artists, that are wanting to start practicing like this with the Learn My Craft journals, or just generally sketching in journals? What would your tips be?
Oh, gosh. I would say 100%. Think of this as any sport, any piano lesson, anything else that you're trying to get better at. It's a daily practice, and the practice should be to you, from you. So I always say that. This is to me, from me, these sketchbook journals. It's not to turn in, but if you don't practice, if you don't put in the time, you aren't going to get better. If I wanted to run a marathon, there's no way I could run, you know, 26.1 miles. I don't think I could run around the block. So it would be foolish of me to think that I could do this by myself on my own the first time out of the gate. Having said that, I also think, and I always tell people this, it reminds me a little bit of yoga. If you do yoga, you might have a hard time touching your toes, and it might hurt the back of your legs and hurt your hamstrings. But if you keep going to yoga practice, one day you're going to touch your knees, then the next day you touch your ankles, or the next week you touch your ankles, and then you realize it's not long after you can touch your toes, but you can't remember when you couldn't touch your toes. It's such a slow burn. That's what I feel this practice is. Some days you just realize that the practice, the daily practice, the time spent turns into an understanding that wasn't there the day before, if that makes sense.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's super helpful. I think the art community is very, very gracious with each other. I think people are willing to help. I think there's communities and groups to join. I think that understanding that, you know, like I was taught, doesn't take all the tools to draw. You just have to put pencil to paper. You have to put in the time. And somehow muscle memory, observation skills become fine-tuned. And that's kind of been the most exciting thing for me to watch with my own practice, is seeing this unfold kind of right before my eyes. Unbeknownst to me, it's happening. And you don't realize it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful.
And I definitely think your books could be presented to people as, you call them practice journals, you call them the right name. I don't even know if people understand the value in that until they get it, until they watch and see that even experienced artists in your podcasts, on your YouTube channels, they're still using these, because just like any sport or piano, you still have to go in and do your scales on the piano. You still have to stretch before running. You still have to do all these warm-up skills practice. And these practice journals can become useful that way. And like I showed you on mine, you can take any of these pictures and practice them in graphite. So you can start all over again in another medium and still enhance those observation skills, right?
Definitely. And I also really love this idea, because I've never seen anybody use the practice journals like this before. And it does give it, I guess, a different life as well. By putting it in your own sketchbook, it makes it more yours rather than something that could be a bit more formulaic, that the sketchbooks are laid out, you know, in rows. Whereas this gives you a bit more freedom, I suppose, as well, of, I guess, making mistakes and doing it not in the books. And I quite like the freedom around that.
Well, thank you. I actually kind of thought everybody, not everybody, I just, because there was no directions immediately out of the gate, it's up to you. So you get to make the rules. The whole thing is up to you. You get to decide how to approach it. And for me, because I am a sketchbook artist, and I wanted things in my sketchbook, and I knew that, oh, I don't want to work on the paper that's in the sketchbook. That was the first part. I think that's not going to serve me if I'm, you know, already fussy about paper. So immediately I thought, oh, you know what? Luckily, they were smart enough, thank you, Seema, to not put these back to back in a way that I couldn't cut them out. Had you put them
exactly
in a different way, I wouldn't have been able to do that, or I was going to sacrifice, you know, an illustration from one side to be able to serve me on the other side. But it then became, like I said, I was opportunistic in saying, oh, look at how much more I can glean if I take this out and create my own rules, create my own setup, create my own lesson. Nobody's going to help me. I have to help myself. And the sketchbook is the place that allowed me to do that. So I'm really glad that you appreciate that that's where they live.
Oh, definitely, because I think that was also the point of the Learn Minecraft journals being so simple as well, is that I didn't want to include step-by-steps or tutorials or even any sort of how-tos. I wanted people not just to be, like, you know, free to do with how they did it or how they started, but also what medium they chose to do it with, because I've seen loads of artists, even watercolor artists, stick in their own watercolor paper and do a painting in the books. And it's just been so nice to see the diversity, I guess, that these journals can bring.
Right, right. And I'm sure with all the people that you have, you know, interviewed and watched draw, I'm sure that there's quite a few varieties that were definitely not in your head when you put this together, right? Something that you're like, I didn't even think of that, you know?
No, definitely. It's very exciting to see how people can make them their own.
Right.
Yeah.
How long have they been out?
Sorry?
How long have they been available? When did you first release these?
Probably this time last year.
Oh gosh, that recent. So cool.
Yes.
Do you have plans for more?
Possibly, yeah. There's already nine themes right now. So I feel like that's enough for people to get along with.
Yeah, for sure.
But yes, that I'm happy to do more later on. Because it's also one of those things, there's endless themes, there's endless opportunity to do more different, journals. Yeah, so it's quite exciting. Maybe even collaborate with artists as well to draw the covers and think up their own themes. That would be quite fun.
Definitely.
So, yeah, there's lots of opportunity. What do you want to practice next in terms of like themed
I
drawings?
think it might be interesting to do one where it was all eyes, all paws, all, beaks. Like to me, I think birds' beaks can be some of the most challenging shapes. They are triangles. I know that to be true. But somehow they have little bumps and little, they point in a certain direction. Like it could be interesting to have that type of feature where they're more by subject matter versus region, right?
Would you do that in your sketchbook then, like a whole page of beaks? That sounds amazing.
I would because I think the practice comes from muscle memory. So your eye sees that it's a certain shaped triangle. The first time you put it down, it's too pointy. The next time you put it down, it's a witch's hat. But if you keep going, all of a sudden you learn that it's a triangle with a rounded tip. And it takes sometimes hard practice. It's hard to translate what you're seeing. It doesn't always come out, easy and clear. How about you? When you started with your animal portraits, did you immediately go into dogs, or I think it was cats that you started with, right?
It was cats, yes. It was cats. I honestly didn't like the actual commissions themselves were my practice. So each commission I did get better and better because I just kept drawing the same animal over and over again. So there's definitely something worth doing is to just focus on one element of an animal or one type of animal, and just get good at that, just learning everything about it in terms of anatomy and color and shapes and even like fur direction, because I know so well now the direction of fur growth on a cat's face. Like I could
Right.
probably do it without looking at a reference photo because I've done it so much.
Right. No, that's a great point. That's definitely a good point. And this was just came out of kind of friends and referrals from friends when you first started.
Yeah, so it started off with just friends and then family and friends, and then when I posted on Facebook, I started posting that artwork on Facebook. It then turned into people in America actually commissioning me. So
Oh gosh, wow.
I accidentally started a business.
Wow. That's so
Yeah.
impressive. Definitely. Did you and you went to art school, studied art?
No,
Oh, you did not.
I'm completely self-taught.
Oh, wow. How did
You've
you
probably done
get
more
into
lessons than I
I don't think so.
No, definitely. I'm completely self-taught.
And how did you start? How did you get into it? Where was your launch pad?
I guess it was looking at other artists on Instagram and seeing how much realism and beauty that you can get from colored pencil, because I was initially an oil painter, but I really struggled with
cleaning up after oil painting to the point where I just keep buying new brushes. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah, I hated it. I hated the process. But then I saw that you could get beautiful realism from coloured pencils. And that's where I fell in love with coloured pencils. And I haven't looked back, to be honest. I enjoy mixing it with pastels, but I don't think I'll fully become a pastel artist, I suppose, because I love the control and cleanliness of coloured pencil, because I've always loved graphite as well. When I was younger, I did a lot of graphite sketches. Uh-huh. So I think that's where you get the benefit of holding a pencil in your hand, but it's also in colour. And then there's so many varieties of colour pencil, you know, oil-based and wax-based, that you get different elements of, like, you know, if you did do an oil painting, just use an oil-based pencil and it will look very similar and you'd have more control and you don't have to clean up. So
right, I can totally relate. And I can tell you this, when my kids were little, I have two daughters, they're adults, when they were little, I wouldn't let them use Play-Doh. You remember, you know Play-Doh?
Yes, I know Play-Doh very well.
Yes, because it was so messy and I thought, there's just no way. No, that's not happening in my house. So I did stifle a little creativity there when my kids were little. But when you said oil and the mess and all that, I can understand that. It seems daunting for sure.
So with your sketch then, do you try and, I guess, get it fully formed? Or if you're just trying to focus on color, do you stop when you feel like you've got the colors right and then you don't carry on?
I do try to take it to completion. I do find that because I am a detailed person and details matter, that one of my current struggles is that I thought that I could just do quick sketches and, you know, get the basic shape of a bird and all that. And I can't. What happens is I get dialed in on too much detail and then I can't stop until the detail's correct. So also it was a self-realization of why watercolors was so difficult, because it didn't allow me to control much, you know, even though I know plenty of people mm-hmm. do a lot of detail work with watercolors. I struggled with getting the paint to water ratio and all that. So when it comes to any kind of pencil drawing, I tend to try to take it to the end. I tend to fuss until I feel that I've done my best with what I see. And that's usually the hard part, is what is it that I see, you know? And do I mm-hmm. have that? Do you feel when you're just kind of doing your practice that you can let it go with without being complete?
No.
Straight up no.
No. That's something I'm working on. I am a perfectionist at heart, so I have to finish things. If it's not finished, then it doesn't get to be part of my gallery. It gets thrown in the bin.
Oh, God. Yep. I know the feeling. It just, and probably too, this journey that I've been on with pencil and graphite, for the first time, even when I can't understand something, even when it doesn't look right, I'm not angry like I was with watercolor, because I'm learning along the way and the detail allows me to do so much. So now it's just about keeping learning the skill, not getting angry because the picture didn't look like what I saw. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. No, it's about letting go, isn't it? Especially when it comes to practice, you have to be okay with being bad first, don't you?
100%. 100%. Yeah. But in watercolor, I didn't give myself that grace, and I didn't understand mm-hmm. why. I just felt lost. Not lost. I mean, I could make things, and also people would say when you post them, oh, that's really beautiful. And I would say, this is my truth, I would say things like, thank you so much, but the end doesn't justify the means. In other words, the hardship it took me to get there didn't make me happy that it looks okay to you. I'm still frustrated because I don't know the why behind it. I don't understand the process. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that that's really important to me, is to try to understand these things to be able to keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So at least I'm self-realized. I always give myself that latitude.
No, definitely. Your sketch is looking beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So is... Are you done?
Not quite done. I've sort of done, like, very rough. I've done a lovely rough sketch.
You have background and everything. So, yes, this will take me a little bit of time to keep going and keep writing.
My practice has been speed because I refuse... I'm a very impatient person and I refuse for colour pencil to be the kind of medium that takes a long time because I love its preciseness, I love its colour, I love the vibrancy, I love everything but how long it takes.
Okay, very interesting.
So this entire year, literally since producing these journals, is for me, my practice has been all about speed. I want to be able to produce very high quality work like I do with my commissions but at half the time.
Wow, I love that.
And that really makes you concentrate on what's important because it's not important to draw every detail because that's not what's going to make it look better.
Right.
Things like your values and your color choices and sometimes not even your color choices because you could be making it look brighter than the reference or, you know, slightly different than the reference because, you know, we're not photocopiers, we're artists, so we're doing our own interpretation of it. But definitely the values is the key, isn't it? That's what you were talking about. Doing those value studies really helped you. And then proportions. So I feel like if you can get the proportions accurate and the values accurate, the rest doesn't matter. The rest is just taking up the time.
Right.
And you can already get to a beautiful, realistic thing by just getting those two things correct. That's what I've learned.
Interesting. Very interesting. I love that. Mm. You know, a lot of people who I chat with on, you know, social media about art all the time, they laugh a little bit because I always start somewhere different in my art every time. I never start at the same spot and people think it's funny and people ask why. And I always, you know, sometimes it's about, am I going to fit it on the page? And it, you know, am I going to like it? But inevitably, the thing that ends up coming, waiting to the very end, is the eye. Because almost as if I can't get everything else right. Yes, the eye, I'm pretty confident that I can get that done. But it's never mm-hmm. the first thing on the page, whereas a lot of people like to do the eye first. Because it gives their art, it gives their art life, right? But to your point,
yeah.
Sometimes if I can just trudge my way through the part that feels hard, which is some of the values, some of the colors, some of the detail work. If I can get that correct, I'm pretty confident that I can get the eye. You know, I'm pretty sure I can get that in there and, you know, then that's my reward at the end for taking it that far. But I do love to hear that your practice also is about efficiency. I think that's an interesting... an important goal, kind of like people say with running, you know, you can run the 12-minute mile, but maybe you want to get a 10-minute mile or, you know, 8-minute mile, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Laurie, I think we'll stop there now.
Okay, wonderful.
If you want to finish this and send me the picture later, I would love to see.
Yes, I would love to be able to do that and include that. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been really, really such a treat for me, Sam. I appreciate you and the time and including my art on your program and continue to make your practice journals because I will have all of them.
Oh, fantastic. And I really appreciate it. I've learned so much about journaling and sketchbooks and how you use colored pencil as a beginner. It's been incredible. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. We'll chat soon.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.